Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
First John is an epistle that every time I read in my Bible reading, I want to read three or four or five times. And the reason is that every time I read it, I try to read it from a different perspective. I try to read it from the perspective of church-age saints. Try to read it from the perspective of John when he wrote it. Try to read it from the perspective of my life right now. Try to read it from the perspective of a saint in the tribulation. And every time I do, I keep finding things about this epistle that are deep, that are sometimes even troubling. And today what I'd like to do is preach through at least the first three chapters of 1 John on one subject, and that is fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. In other words, just from that perspective. John writes and he says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So from the perspective that John wrote this, so that you and I could have fellowship with them, with him and the other of the disciples, the other Christians that were then, so that we could have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and so that we could have joy, a fullness of joy. If we read this particular epistle from that perspective, then we have an interesting view on the epistle. And that is, what is required for our fellowship with God and with his children, and for our fullness of joy? What's required for that? And in this particular passage, I think you can see six things that are really very obvious. And the first thing is this. If we're going to enjoy fellowship with us, that is, with John and like Christians, with brothers in Christ, if we're going to enjoy fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and if we are going to have fullness of joy, those three things that you see in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, then here are some things. Number one, walk in the light. You want to have good fellowship with Bible-believing Christians. You want to have good fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. You want to have the fullness of joy. Then walk in light. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I know, what do you see here is this. What you see is that God is light. God is light. Verse 5 says that. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay? Well, if you're going to walk in fellowship with God, you're going to have to walk in the light, because there's no darkness in him. If you're going to walk in fellowship with believers that are walking in his light, you're going to have to walk in the light. So we're not going to have fellowship with God in darkness, nor are we going to have fellowship with his other children who are walking in the light if we walk in darkness. And what this involves is not yielding to sin, and it involves confessing our sins when we do yield to them. Now let's look at some passages of Scripture here in the Bible so we understand what's going on. When Jesus Christ himself arrived in the earth, John bore witness of him, and John, the Bible says, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Jesus Christ then was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What's the problem? Well, the trouble is that the light shined in darkness in verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, what's the problem there? The problem is John chapter 3. All right, John chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So you see, then, for you and me to be able to have good fellowship with God, good fellowship with Jesus Christ, and good fellowship with his children, we've got to walk in the light. Because the light manifests that those things that we're doing, the truth in us, and shows and reveals that we love God, love Jesus Christ, and love the brethren who like to walk in the light. You watch this trend in your life, and you watch it in the lives of other people. When you decide that you don't want to have fellowship with other believers, you are going to make that decision based on your attraction to darkness, to things that are done in the dark. I've had the opportunity over the years in the ministry to deal with lots of people in a lot of different circumstances, in ministries where we've been helps, in personal work, in church, in counseling, in all kinds of ways. And what I've noticed is this. There's a very common thing. When a person is starting to do things wrong, okay? When a person is starting to do things wrong, he is going to separate himself from the light. That's what he's going to do. He is going to pull out of places where believers are enjoying great fellowship with God and where preaching is hot and exposes wickedness. They're going to pull out. They always do. What happens is some young lady's in church and she hooks up with a boyfriend who's not saved. And that now her heart is divided. And what she wants to do with her boyfriend, she must do away from the Christians that are in the church, because if they knew she was doing what she was doing with that boy, they wouldn't want her to be in fellowship with them at the church. Likewise, in order to do what she wants to do with that boy, she doesn't want to be around other people who are talking about not doing those kinds of things and preaching hard against those kinds of sins and other things. There's too much light in the fellowship with the believers to allow for the darkness that she's contemplating to go on. Young men do the same thing. Young men are kind of going out there, and they find some young lady, and they, okay, now what's happened is they're divided between their lust for darkness and things that they know are not part of what God wants done in the light, okay, and then their hunger for acceptance with God's people in the light. You can't be in both places at the same time. You can't be in light and in darkness, you see. And so in order for us, you and me, to be able to have great fellowship with God, good fellowship with his children, and good and the fullness of joy, we cannot be divided in darkness and in light. We must walk in the light. Now, if you step out and do something that's sin in the darkness, then he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what that does is it just brings that, it allows us to stand there in the illumination of that great light of his presence, the light of his children, and know that the unrighteousness that had been done has been cleansed with the blood of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. Okay, if you want to have good fellowship with God, with His children, and have the fullness of joy, okay, then walk in the light. Make that decision. I'm going to walk in the light. Second thing, do this. Keep His commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 7 say this, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." You see that? And then he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning." So what is he saying? Keep these commandments. Now, what are they? Well, they're right there in the Bible is what he's saying. It's an old commandment. It's been there. We should walk as he walked. I'm going to tell you something. There is no liberty in Christ to walk apart from his commandments and apart from his words. And the main two commandments, of course, are 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There is a pervasive theology today, particularly, that now that you're saved, the liberty you have in Christ operates apart from the commandments, not consistently with the commandments. And that is because you're not justified by the works of the law. You're justified by the faith of Christ, that therefore there is a separation. So that when you have faith in Christ, you are no longer in any way associated with the law. And that's not true. That's not true. Let me give you an example. Here in Romans chapter 7, Paul goes through a great treatise about the trouble in the flesh. Okay? So in this particular passage, you're going to see, watch, John chapter 7. He says this, verse 18, "I know that in my flesh, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Okay? But now notice. Verse 12, "The law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now look what he said about the law. In verse 12, it's holy. In verse 12, it's just. In verse 12, it's good. And in verse 14, it's spiritual. So the philosophy that is pervasive today is this. It's called antinomianism. Now that I'm saved, I have no association with the law whatsoever. So if I do something that the law says I'm not supposed to do, but because I'm in Christ and I'm already so saved, I've already fulfilled the law in Christ, and therefore the laws against adultery, the laws against stealing, the laws against lying no longer have any effect on me because I'm in Christ. I have liberty in Christ. And that's just not so. That's not just so at all. Listen, in Romans chapter 7, Paul goes on to say, "O wretched man that I am," in verse 24, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So Paul says, I am conscious in my mind of the law of God, and I serve that law with my mind. With my flesh, I serve the law of sin, he goes on to say in verse 25, but I'm conscious, I'm aware of that law. And so he doesn't operate contrary to the law. Listen, if Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law, okay, then how in the world, being in you, can he then lead you contrary to the law. You see, it doesn't make sense. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says what? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Well, then how are you, this is really something, how are you going to live contrary to the law, okay, in Christ who fulfill the law? That doesn't make sense. So your liberty in Christ does not take you away from and above and contrary to the law. If the law was fulfilled in him, then let me tell you something. You want to have good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to walk even as he walked. How did he walk? In fulfillment of the law. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And because he has fulfilled that law, he can continue to keep that law inside of you. But he's surely not going to operate contrary to the law. Now, where is all this leading? I'll tell you what. When you get ready to start going off into sin in your life, you are going to put that Bible down, and you are no longer going to do what it says. You're going to get dust on the cover, and the pages are going to stick together. Do you understand that when you want to really have good fellowship with God and with his children and fullness of joy, you're going to walk in the broad daylight of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will be done ever secretly that could not be done openly in front of everybody. That's right. And you're going to keep his commandments. You are going to follow what that word says, and your liberty in Christ is going to be in accordance with the perfect law of liberty, as Peter says. You got it? All right, here's another thing. If you are going to enjoy great fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, with his children, and great fullness of joy, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love the brethren. That's right. I mean, you're going to have good fellowship with them. You're going to love them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now notice the references he's making to the light again. Well, he's very clearly also saying that if you're in that light, you're going to love the brethren. You're going to love those who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those men that you love, those brethren, they are the ones of verses 12 through 14 in chapter 2. The ones whose sins are forgiven for his name's sake. The ones who know him in verse 13, that is Jesus Christ. Those who have overcome the wicked one in verse 13. Those who have known the Father in verse 13. That's who we're talking about. Those who are strong in the word of God and have overcome the wicked one. Those are the brethren right there. Now, you know something? Here you see this connection in 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 to those that have kept that word of truth, those that have known the Father, those that have known the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have overcome the wicked one. Those are your brethren. And he says, you want to have good fellowship with us? Then love the brethren. They have their sins forgiven. They know Jesus. They know the Father. They've overcome the wicked one. And the word abides in them. And let me show you what that love looks like. It's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the kind of love he's talking about. Life-denying, self-sacrificing love. Verse 17, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How does this love look? 1 John chapter 4, look at verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now what do we see here? Well, in order to love God and enjoy that fellowship with him. That's how John starts his epistle in 1 John chapter 1. All right? We declare him unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So if you want fullness of joy in your salvation and fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Father and with the saints, you're going to have to love the brethren. You're going to have to love the brethren. Now let me tell you something. What I've seen today, and it is a really sad thing, is this. There are people today who do not have fellowship with others who walk in the light and keep the Lord's commandments through Jesus Christ. Their liberty is beyond the commandments. Say they love the brethren, but I'm going to tell you something. Every work, every deed is an indication that in fact they hate the brethren, those who love his commandments and those who walk in the light. And John's talking about that very group here in 1 John in chapter 2. You can't say that you love God and hate the brethren. You see, there's a kind of wisdom today that again permeates theology, permeates Christianity, where the liberty has now become reckless and mischievous and lascivious. And what's happened is this. The people who are in that look at Bible-believing Christians as legalists. They look at Bible-believing Christians as in bondage to a set of man's rules. They are critical and do not want to have fellowship with men and women who are walking in the light and keeping his commandments. Now listen, if they don't want to walk in the same light because they're walking in darkness, if they don't want to keep his commandments because they are in a liberty that is superior to the commandments, and if they are in strife and bitterness and envy and evil work against those who are in the light and keeping his commandments, then you know what? They're not in fellowship with them. And if they're not in fellowship with them, they're not in good fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And the joy they have or the happiness they have is not the fullness of joy from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a happiness that has come from the liberty, from the bondage of sin in which they find themselves now. You see, Peter talks about that kind of liberty that is enjoyed by people who have gone contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says about them in 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So there's a bondage to sin which still provides pleasure today. But that sin is contrary to what is acceptable and enjoyable and appropriate in the love with the brethren. So let's sum it up this way. I was going to carry on and give you more today. I'll just divide this up and give you the rest of it tomorrow. But listen how this goes. It is a very simple and yet very profound thing that John is writing here. It is a gauge for your personal Christianity. It is not a judge for other people's Christianity. And here's the deal. There are some Christians today who are walking in the light. Everything they do inside their houses, they can do outside of their houses. Everything they say in private context, they can say in public context. Everything they do is in light. It is in the light. Obviously, there are those discrete things, But I'm not talking about discrete things that are enjoyed in the privileges of marriage and other things like that. I'm talking about just being on the inside of your house, what you are on the outside of your house, being in front of your friends at church, what you are in front of your family at home, okay, that you never find yourself in a situation where you, quote-unquote, let your hair down and now can walk in darkness, that everything you do, every place you do it, is something that could be publicly known and it would be fine, okay? That's walking in the light. That's where God is, and it shines bright. When you have that kind of fellowship with the Lord, you can have that kind of fellowship with His believers who walk in that light, okay? Because they're not walking in sin. The second thing is, this is, again, a gauge on your personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that you are walking as He walked, that your liberty is not apart from His commands, that what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in your life in fulfilling righteousness is consistent with the perfect law of liberty, that you can open that Bible in great conscience and read that Bible and have that Bible nourish you and strengthen your love and your fellowship for God and for His Son and for the brethren, and that you're walking right in line with what the Bible says. You're not making exceptions for your life. The Bible's not growing dust in your life, okay? And then thirdly, when you want to find out about your fellowship with the believers, you want to find out about your relationship with the Lord, how do you love the brethren? How do you love the brethren? Do you love them in word and in deed? And do you love them who are loved by God Almighty? Those that you're not having strife with other of God's children? Okay, if that's the case, then you're in good fellowship with the Lord, and you're in good fellowship the way that John wanted you to be in good fellowship according to this epistle that he wrote. But if you've got to do what you do in the darkness in order to get away with it, and if you walk contrary to His commandments when it suits you, okay, and if you are in strife and in confusion and in evil work with the brethren, then I'm going to tell you what, it's not them, it's you. John wrote this to you so you could have fellowship with us. And what you need to do is you need to get back in the light, back in fulfillment of His commandments, and you got to get back in love with the brethren. And I pray that you will. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.